Welcome to Celebration Community Church's Sunday Sermon Series. Celebration is located in San Jose, California. We would love to have you join us on Sunday morning. Find out more at www.celebratejesus.net or call our office at 408-225-1000. Now, enjoy the message.
In 2015, we said, and I'm going to be very quick here, God needs us, and we need to recognize that. The Lord is preparing us for revival. How many of you know you have to be revived before you can be revived? How many of you know that the church needs to be revived? We're at that point right now. We need revival, and I'm talking about the whole church corporately. What the enemy, we've gone through, what the enemy is going to try to do to you in 2016 to keep you from being revived. And then we saw as Christians, we have a calling, we have a ministry, a destiny, and they're all intertwined. And the reason why people, and you know how very strong that I am on the area that we've been created with a destiny, a unique destiny for each one, that God has given us the gifts that will enable us to accomplish that task. And with that process, that destiny is in line or in, connected to your ministry and your calling. And that's the reason why people never live to their full potential in what God wants for them and what they're wanting for God, is because they don't recognize that they've been called to be a minister. There's a calling on your life. It's not just for the five full gift ministries. It's on every Christian. And as you remember, that was the purpose for the Jewish nation. They were going to be the priests of God to the rest of God's creation. How many know there was a mix-up along the way? And then what happened, they had to boil it down to the Levites, and that became a small section. And they became the ones that were to be the administrators of the Lord. And there was a very uniqueness about them as the priest, because they had, there was a calling on them. But it, as we see things developing into the New Testament, there was a divide between the priests and the people. And it was the priest that did the work of the ministry, and the others were the ones that had to come to the priest to be able to allow whatever is necessary. The priests were allocated to do the spiritual stuff. And that's what happened in the Christian church. As the priest became the instruments of the Lord as Christians, they began, they were to be the teachers and the equippers for the people to do the work of the ministry. But there was a gulf in between the priest and the people. I don't know if some of you who have that kind of background, mainline denominational background, there was always a separation, whether it be through the kneelers or whatever, but there was a gate between the priest on the altar and the people. And that was that line of delineation. But what happened is that same principle with the Jewish religion, where the priests became the ones that did the work of the ministry, and all that they end up doing is helping people to be better Christians, to forgive them their sins, as Scripture says. But the issue was, they failed to do something very important, and that was to teach the people that they are prophets, priests, and kings, and they have been anointed to be able to do the work of the ministry. If you notice, there's no separation here. There's no hurdle that you have to jump to get into the presence of the Lord. And if you know the difference between, you come to a church where there's an altar in the back, and mainline denominational churches and Christians, what has happened, and that's through Luther, who was a German priest that broke away from the Catholic Church to begin to change the whole understanding of what it meant to be a Christian. And instead of by works, it's by faith. It was the major thing that Luther taught. Paul said, it's by faith that we're saved, not that anyone can boast. It's not by works. And what happened in that process, they replace the, what do you call those people that are not Catholics? Protestants. What's the word Protestant from? Protester. Right? So what Luther did, he protested against the teachings of the church. And he caused a tremendous stirring. And they removed the altar and they put the lectern in front. So when you walk into a Protestant church, you don't see the altar. You see the preaching of the word becomes the platform. And if the priest or the pastor is doing teaching the whole gospel, then he's teaching the people that they have been called by God, anointed, appointed by God to be in the kingdom for such a time as this. And it's not just sitting back and listen to a message of rah-rah or making me feel good. Sometimes you have to. There was a definition that the pastor is supposed to be to comfort the afflicted and to afflict the comforted. Right? So what happens if we get to a place where we're not doing the job that God called us? What's happening is you're not fulfilling your destiny. And you're not living in the joy and the peace. And we can make all kinds of excuses. You know, I'm tired. I got too busy. I got family. I've got this. I've got all the different kind of stuff. Well, the Lord knows that. But what happens is that becomes a lifestyle. And the next thing you're doing is years go by. And all you've been doing, the good thing that you've done is wonderful. And you made widgets and you're a nice person and you're nice and all that kind of stuff. But what have we done for the kingdom of God? What, if you look back so far this year in 2016, what have you, this is the question that comes down, what have you done for the kingdom of God? And that's up to you to answer. Showing up is okay. Making it through is questionable. Doing nothing is definitely. There has to be an understanding in the church today that we have been created for the purpose of sharing the good news. And I've shown how that represents that we've been, we looked at the essentials for ministry, and the anointing enables us to do beyond our abilities. How many people would rather depend upon the Lord rather than ourselves? Right? And the Lord says, I will never leave you or forsake you. That's a wonderful thing. I said simple definition of the anointing is that it's to manifest the presence and the love of God. That's what your job is. However that happens, whatever is necessary, God anoints us to be instrument in his hand to bring revelation of who God is and who Christ is. And if your life is exuding Christ, and I'm not saying be weird, If you're living a life where Jesus is free to, the Holy Spirit is free to use you and flow through you, then you're doing your job. If you've got your head down, walking through life, looking at your feet, hoping that nobody bothers you, then essentially you're an enigma. And that means you can't be two. You can't be a Christian and hold your light under a bushel basket. So the whole thing is, Lord, how can I express your love in this situation? It may be a prophetic word. It might be a healing prayer. It might be standing against the powers of the enemy. It may be encouraging. Lord, what is it that you have me in this situation for? What is it that I am to allow you to flow through me? How many know that's a good place to be? Anybody over here? Lord, to demonstrate the power of the Lord. I told you before that when you're a Christian, you receive the Holy Spirit. And where every believer is told, we have access to the anointing. And we are to seek the anointing. And the purpose, we looked at the anointing. How many, let me back that up. I want to, 1 second here. No, I'm not backing up. In fact, I backed up too far. Don't you give me a hard time. There we go. Imagine being offered the most dynamic power in the world, in the universe, and not availing ourselves of it. The same, you heard me bang on this scripture, the same power that raised Christ from the dead resides within you. And walking through life with that power, which is the anointing, and not using it, and allowing circumstances to manipulate us and to rob us and to dictate to us, what kind of a life is that? To have access to the power of the Lord and say, no, Lord, I'm too caught up with something else. What an incredible opportunity. He said, I will withhold no good thing to you. So we say, Lord, what am I supposed, how would you want me to release your love to this situation? And then we pray, Lord, now add the anointing which enables me to defeat whatever is holding, whatever the situation, or the power to release that dynamic into people's lives. To not avail ourselves of that is being bound up by the powers of hell or the cares of the world. We looked at the purpose of the anointing, and I can't go through that, but essentially we went through every area. The messages are online. Everything from increasing faith to greater sensitivity to the Holy Spirit, also a greater sensitivity to the enemy. That's one of the things that happens when we receive the anointing. We're talking more about the baptism and the Holy Spirit. There is a sensitivity of knowing what is going on because of the gift of discerning of spirits is one of the key ministries of the Holy Spirit to us. We recognize that we don't fight against the flesh. So instead of attacking the person, what you do is we attack, however God would manifest that, the things that are causing that person to respond that way. And most people don't even know that they're bound. That we've come to minister the acceptable year of the Lord, the Lord's favor. And one of the mandates is that we are to set the captive free. We also saw that the enemy wants to come upon you in the situations they're in to do everything he possibly can to keep you from that anointing, from being filled, because he realizes, like so many Christians, and this certainly I'm called to the church, I'm a pastor, but there are times when the pastor has to say, and we're doing online, is to stir up the gifts that is within us. To cause there to be a realization within the church itself that it's time to recognize that God is about to do something, and I've gone through that, and we can name 100 things that even happened since the beginning of the year where it's absolutely obvious that there is a amassing of the powers of evil. Of the situations that we're recognizing where there is no moral compass anymore. And we've talked about that, to keep you from the anointing. Last time, we saw keys to receiving the anointing. We went through a couple of those. We went through those. But this is one of my favorite verses. And you can write it down and look it up yourself. Ephesians 1, verse 18 through 20. This is one of my favorite verses, as I said. And this is Paul praying, or the Lord praying, the Holy Spirit praying. My prayer is that you that understanding will flood your heart, and that you will understand the hope that was given to you when God chose you. Then you will discover the glorious blessings that will be yours with all of God's people. I want you to know about the great and mighty power that God has for us followers. It's the same wonderful power he used when he raised Christ from the dead and let him sit at his right side in heaven. This is almost a pleading. I want you to know this, he's saying. I want you to understand. I want you to grab hold of it, because if you do, it will change your life. Everybody say amen. Amen. And the more we recognize this, the more we avail ourselves of the provision of the Lord. And we look through these last couple weeks, keys to receiving the anointing. I want the next section that I want to look at. The next section, is our response to the anointing of the Holy Spirit. What are we supposed to respond to? That's what happens. So many people just, not here, of course. All they do is they receive teaching, right? All they do is they gather information. And gathering information and not acting upon it, it's worthless. In fact, it's very interesting. When Jesus and the Sadducees and the disciples were around, here's something that you may not have known. Jesus spoke in parables, right? He spoke in parables so that people could understand, so the disciples could understand. But he spoke in parables so that the Sadducees and the priests would not understand. Interesting, isn't it? And many times he would tell a story and the disciples would come off to the side afterwards and say, "What does this mean?" And he would explain it to them. And he explained it, and he would share it initially so that the Sadducees and the priests and the scribes, they couldn't figure out at all what he was saying. He didn't want them to understand. Now, what kind of a thing is that? In fact, he said it in Scripture. It says he explained it that way so that they would not understand. Now, that doesn't seem right, does it? How many know that we're not God? There's a reason why he did that. Anybody want to know? Okay, I'll tell you. What happens if you receive truth? Let's say you go to the doctor. I'll just use this as an analogy. You go to the doctor, and the doctor says you have something, whatever, choose an ulcer, cancer. And he says, "I'm going to prescribe this for you." And you say, "Thank you." And then you say, "But I'm not going to do it." Now, that's one side, that's a word picture what's going to happen to you? The cancer or whatever is going to get worse and worse and worse. I mean, you know, sometimes it's better not to know that you have cancer if you're not going to do anything about it. So, here's the other side from the spiritual side. When the Lord tells us to do something and we don't do it, or rebel against it, what happens to us? or to the person? The person, what we have to do is in order, and the Holy Spirit speaks and speaks and speaks, you have to get stronger against the Lord in order to refute and rationalize why you're not going to do what he wants you to do. Does that make any sense? Or I'll keep explaining it. If I know that someone is not going to receive what I'm going to say, or give them direction and they're going to turn it down, I'm not going to give them the understanding. Because in order to justify their actions for not doing what is supposed to be done, you have to get stronger and stronger and stronger. So what happens, if he were to explain to the Sadducees and the Pharisees what the truth was, they would harden their hearts because they were not going to follow it. So what he did, he told the parable and then explained it to the disciples because they could hear. They wanted understanding. Because when God speaks to us, or if there's a direction that's given and you do not respond to it, your heart gets hardened until eventually it becomes so hardened that God can't get through. So in his love, in his mercy, he allowed the Sadducees, the Pharisees, and the scribes to be put by the side. And for those like Nicodemus who really wanted to find out the truth, all they had to do was go with the disciples and say, "What do you mean by this?" But they didn't. And when we turn it down, the enemy jumps in on it and it will begin to harden your heart. So in a way, what he was doing is he was being merciful to them. Do you understand? That's why in this whole process, when we hear something and we don't act upon it, or not just, I'm saying there's to be slothful and not do due diligence is one thing. But there are times when the Lord says, "I want you to do this." Now, this is important. That's why he said, "Listen up," or "I tell you the truth." So that he recognized what he was saying is, I'm underlying this because this is important. And what I've been saying since the end of last year and this year, you need to understand this because this is important. May I have your attention? And for people who listen to the message and it just goes, whoop, or, "Oh, that sounded good." How many know that I'm not here to tickle ears? I don't want to tickle ears. I want us to be equipped so that we understand. And that's the heart of the pastor who wants his sheep to be able to come to a place of maturity. And that's why we don't drink milk around here. We're into meat, right? How many people like meat? Well, the meat of the word is a lot different than the milk of the word. So, what is our response to what the Lord is saying to us for the anointing here in 2016? Let me give you some things. You got your notes there. I'll go through them. First of all, my response to the anointing of the Lord is, I will live in my calling. I have access to God. And the understanding is, my response to you, Lord, is that I have purpose to make my calling and my ministry the priority of my life. Some may say, hallelujah, amen, or pass the ketchup or something. Hallelujah and amen. Yes, go, throw the ketchup in too. That we are to, in fact, with that access of God, every moment live in the access of God. How many know you can do that? How many know that the Lord says, I will never leave you or forsake you? In my presence is fullness of joy. Why would we want to be out of his presence? Unless you want to be miserable. How many people know that some people just want to be miserable? No looking around. Some people just want to live miserably. You know why they want to live miserably? Because they don't want to take the responsibility of changing. Amen, oh me. Help. Access to God. Revelation 1, 5, and 6. To him who loves us and has freed us from our sins by his blood, he has made to us a kingdom of priests to serve his God and Father. You are a priest. That was the issue that they were trying for the Jews, to be a kingdom of priests. So now the bride is a kingdom of priests. Right? That's who you are. The word priest is a bridge builder. We are to build bridges from them to God. And sometimes they walk on us, don't they? Take advantage of the situation. I will live in my calling. I will live like an overcomer. This is part of the anointing. The Lord doesn't call you an overcomer and then leave you overcome. The anointing, my responsibility to the anointing is that I will live like an overcomer. And an overcomer means that I will, my approach to life is I am an overcomer. I will not allow the circumstances of the world, the situations that perhaps has not turned out the way I want, to overcome me. If you use the anointing, you will not be overcome. When the Holy Spirit, when you're calling out, Lord, I ask for your anointing in this situation, the Holy Spirit will download to you a fresh infilling of faith to be able to say, that's what this is all about, Lord. Me confessing before we realize the solution to it, before I am even seeing you manifest your presence and your handiwork in the situation, I confess that I am an overcomer and I will live from that perspective. Don't convince me with the facts. I've already made up my mind. Right? I will live like an overcomer. The other one is that I will use my God-given authority. I'm going to be teaching about the enemy again because there's all new insights that we need to be aware of. I will use my God-given authority. There should be nothing that causes your spirit to be stirred that you don't respond to. Because the Holy Spirit needs that contact, that conduit, to be able to deal with the situations. When you see the Spirit of God moving, what we do is we bless that. We bless it and we encourage it, whatever it might be, however to help facilitate that. When we see the spirit of the enemy working, and you know that there's just hell working here in many different ways. Could be just subtle deception. Our position and the reason why the Holy Spirit revealed that to you is because he wants you to do something about it. As I said, there's a lot of people that are bound up and they don't have the foggiest idea why they have headaches all the time, or they have ulcers, or they can't sleep at nighttime, or there's situations and their family's falling apart and all kinds of things. They never can succeed in work and they don't have any friends and all that kind of stuff. Those people are bound, unless they choose that. But if there is a If there's something that the Holy Spirit is revealing to you, then God, what am I supposed to do about that? Instead of just turn your head and run. And again, most of the time, most of this, until you get really good at it, what the Lord does, he gives us, and you heard me say, the sphere of influence. That's the one we practice on. Then what happens, that sphere of influence as you grow in the anointing of the Lord gets bigger and bigger and bigger until you can have no relationship with a person. God can discern the situation there, and you can deal with it right there at that particular time. Taking right control spiritually. Luke chapter 10, verse 19 says, I have given you authority to overcome all the power of the enemy. Nothing will harm you. How could we, who are to experience or to be manifestors of the love of Christ, come in contact with someone who is bound or needs encouragement or whatever that might be and walk away from them? What kind of a Christian is that? What kind of love is that? Now this, turn to somebody and say, he's not giving us a hard time. He's trying to just generate a positive approach here, right? But I might be giving somebody online a hard time. Next one. I have the ability to move mountains. You are unstoppable. Is that what I wrote? You are unstoppable. Mountains, of course, are obstacles put in your way to stop you from forward movement. And when you have those things, you can either stop, you can go under them, you can go around them, or over the top of them. But the issue is that those situations are never and can never, unless we allow it, cause us to shrink back. Unless, again, we allow it. Matthew chapter 17, verse 20, I tell you the truth, if you have faith as small as a mustard seed, you can say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move. Mustard seed. I don't believe you can do that unless you have an overcoming mentality. If you don't see yourself as an overcomer, then the challenges are there, and eventually you get to the point of, oh, man, look at the challenge. Instead of you start counting the Lord's blessing, you have a litany of the challenges that you're dealing with. How many know that's looking from the wrong end? And I know so many people that just, they talk about they're Christians and whatever, but literally they can tell you all the trouble they've seen. And nobody knows but Jesus. And I'm not negating that. You know that I'm not in any way being insensitive to the stuff we have in life. And some of it's really stuff. It's fertilizer. And fertilizer happens. What the process is that with that, we as Christians living from an overcoming mentality is that we say, this observation that I'm seeing, and if in fact, and it can be logical, and it can be factual, and it can be truth, but if we stop there, we are not allowing the anointing of the Lord to invade the situations through our mind, and we will be left with only what we see and only our abilities. And mankind is very, very naturally possessed. They naturally would look towards, has a propensity of looking towards the negative, right? We look at the negative instead of the positive. And after a while, well, you know, and then somebody comes up alongside you and say, yeah, but God does it. Yeah. Or thank you for reminding me. Because sometimes we're supposed to be reminders, aren't we? Right. But in that process of recognizing that the Lord says that the challenges are there, but living from a position of overcoming is saying that challenge is not going to stop me. And you don't have to have be this awesome man, woman of faith. All you have to do is that faith as much as a mustard seed, the smallest seed there is. But in that process, we're saying, Lord, this obstacle is not to stop me, and you and me, we can find the way to take this obstacle and move it out of the way so I can continue on in my journey. That's what 2016 has to have happened in our lives. We have to live like we believe this stuff. Next, I am a minister for the Lord. I am a minister of the Lord. I have been called, and that's what I've been saying. I have been called to be an instrument in God's hand to accomplish what he purposed for me. And God says, I will give you, and I have equipped you, what is necessary to accomplish that task. I'm a minister to the Lord. Some people, you know, you can't even, they can't even say that they're a son or a daughter of God. Who, me? Some of them don't know that. Certainly not a priest. But a minister? What does minister mean? You want to hear the definition of it? The definition of minister is minister. To do the work of the enemy. Let me rewind that. I just said that just to see if you were awake. To do the work of the ministry, to spread the gospel. And when you take that, what it is, it's defeating the ministry of the devil. Right? I am someone through which the good news, the gospel of Jesus Christ, flows through. And I will stand in that ministry through the anointing of the Lord. I will use the keys of the kingdom that God has given to me. The ability, let me read the scripture. Matthew 16:19 says, I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. And whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. You literally have the authority, the God-given right for you to call down heaven into that situation, to bind, to lock, to imprison the powers of the enemy, and to loose the Spirit of God. I will use the keys. A lot of people, the sad thing about many Christians is they've lost their keys. They can't get the engine started. You're going to keep hearing this message however you look, wherever you look through this year, because the church has fallen asleep. And it's almost, I don't know what a church, a Christian that's asleep, but it probably has something to do with the virgins, right? The 10 virgins. They weren't ready when the Lord came back. And they weren't invited to the honeymoon, to the banquet, wedding ceremony. Because they were not ready for the bridegroom. And all the ones that filled their vials and vases with oil, they were the ones that were invited into the ceremony. The ones that allowed the oil, how many know what I'm talking about? Oil and anointing are the same thing. When the anointing was, they didn't go and fill up with the anointing of the Lord, so they were not called into the banquet. And I believe, and I might spiritualize a little bit, but I can do that. That banquet was to establish the bridegroom's rightful place. And what that is, when you look at it from the perspective that we're dealing with right now, Those who have their vials filled with oil are invited in establishing the bridegroom's rightful place. And that is establishing Christ as the head. That's called ministry. And for those who are not ready, they don't get to take part in the party. And that party is KBBT. And you can check with me later. That's what it's all about. Kicking somebody's posterior. To me, when you rouse out the enemy in someone's life, that, to me, is good as a party. It is the most incredible. And watch somebody being set free. Happy times. Everybody happy, happy, happy. I know that I am God's witness. We represent the Lord. You shall be my witnesses. I know that I am God's witness. What would you have me to witness, Lord? Also, I know that I am totally equipped. And we're going to be talking more about that. I know that I have everything that is necessary to face this next week with the power and the authority of the Lord, and I will walk in that conviction that no weapon formed against me shall prosper. And I will live it in such a way that people will notice that that's the way, and that's who I am. That's an awesome way. We've been given the tools. We've been given everything that's necessary. You have the Holy Spirit within you, and that's all you need because you've accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior. And then he says, here is my Holy Spirit within you. There is nothing impossible. There was nothing impossible for me, and there's nothing impossible for you. And that same Spirit that released me and that empowered me is now empowering you. Somebody say hallelujah. Getting Presbyterian on me again. All these are the work of the one and the same Spirit, and he gives them to each one just as he determines. I will live like a conqueror. We are to be possessing, not possessed. And a lot of people say, you know, living a Christian life is all about a bunch of don'ts. And when they think about Christianity, it's all these don'ts. Well, what I'm talking about is the do's. And when we come to that place of recognizing that we are overcoming, that we are conquerors, what you're doing, what you're saying is we're pushing back the enemy. In order to conquer, you have to conk. Right? There has to be a pushing back, an overpowering, overtaking. And a lot of people, what they end up doing is they end up pulling back because they don't want the confrontation. Boy, did the devil do a whole bunch of things to me this past week, they say. Oh, my. Well, let me tell you something, folks. Give you a little clue here. The devil is always going to be around here until... He's always going to be around until we accomplish what God wants us to accomplish. And then we go, and the Holy Spirit goes with us, and then all hell breaks loose. Amen. But in the meantime, we who are on earth, filled with the Holy Spirit, our purpose is to take back what God, what Adam gave to the enemy, to take back what was once ours And now Jesus comes down, defeats the powers of the enemy, and takes back what is ours. Now he says to us, now you go get it. When the Israelites came into the promised land, he said, I've given you this land. And they went, yippee, yippee. And then the first group said, oh, no, it doesn't look like you gave it to us. We're just like grasshoppers. These are giants. And they say, we're out of here. And he said, okay. The second group, who were smarter, after hearing the story for 40 years, 38 years actually, said, all right, we can do this. And God tells them something very strange and walk around and blow trumpets, which is, but don't you say a word. How many of you know that sometimes when God tells you to do something, he should say, don't you say a word, because we'll talk ourselves out of it, won't we? Or grumble. Have you ever grumbled when God told you to do something? No, nobody. I don't want to do that, Lord. All right, I'm going to do it. Like the little boy when the father says, I stood up in his tray, in his high chair. He stood up, and the father says, I want you to sit down. And he stood up. He says, I want you to sit down. So the little boy stood up. Father came in, pushed him down, and in his mind he said, I may be sitting down on the outside, but in the inside I'm still standing up. And so often what we do is that grumbling, that whole process of recognizing that they went in, blew their trumpets, but you know something that was very neat? He said to them the first time, he said to them the second time, I have given you this land. But he also said, there are a bunch of ites in this land. Amalekites, Moabites, all the different, and you know what I'm going to say, termites, for those who have not heard that, but all the ites were there. Why did he leave the ites in the land? For one purpose. For the purpose of showing Israel that with God, when God tells people or tells someone, I've given you this position, that with God, nothing can stand against you. How many know that when you win a battle, you get stronger? When all of a sudden, you know, like the Marines, they really believe that stuff. They really, absolutely, they believe. Now, the Army does too, but the Marines got some kind of brainwashing. They really think they can do this stuff. And they can. And so can the Army. But they went in, and they had to clean out the land by defeating the... That's the same thing as the enemy with us. He said, I've given you the land, possess it. And what we do is we drive out the powers of hell. Hallelujah. And we set the captive free. Next, and I think I'm getting close to it. I have been given permission to use the Lord's name. I am going to the Father and I will, John 14:12-14, I am going to the Father and I will do whatever you ask in my name so that the Son may bring glory to the Father. You may ask me for anything in my name and I will do it. That first scripture that I read out of Exodus 33, Moses says, show me your glory. And the Lord says, I will show you my goodness and I will pronounce my name before you. What he was saying is, when the name of the Lord is spoken, then the glory of the Lord is revealed. The goodness of the Lord is revealed. So what we're saying is, Jesus says, I give you the ability to speak my name. And that's why we pray, and at the end, we pray in agreement these things in Jesus' name. We have the ability. And it's like the parable of the prodigal son. After he messed up and the father restores him, what he does is he gives him a signet ring. That signet ring represented the father. So he could go in and go. All he had to do is show him the ring. That ring is my father's ring. He has given me authority to buy this or do whatever it might be. So I purchased this thing in my father's name. The enemy hates the name of Jesus. That's why he likes to defame it. Or for Christ's sake. What? You don't know Christ from the tree. Oh, Jesus. Hit yourself. Oh, Jesus. Why don't they say Buddha? Why don't they? Something else. Muhammad. Oh, Muhammad. They don't. Yeah. They don't. You know why? Because they don't have authority or power. The name of Jesus, the name of the Lord, is the exalted name in all of creation. And the enemy wants to neutralize that and make it a swear word. Most people, a lot of people, the only time that they use the word God is when they add damn it to it. Why would you put those two together? God's last name is not damn it. I am a miracle worker and expect results. Nothing is impossible. Wouldn't that be cool if you believe that, if we believe that? God manifests miracles in many different ways. But it's awesome to say that I have given you the ability to do signs and wonders. What scripture did I use? John 14:12. I tell you the truth. Anyone who has faith in me will do what I have been doing. He will do even greater things than these. How many people have faith in Jesus? You got part two there. Right? Once you got the first part, you got to do the second part. Next. I recognize that I am a deliverer. Alan, you can get your multitasking hat on. I am a deliverer. Jesus came to deliver mankind, to set the captive free. And these signs shall follow, Mark chapter 16, verse 17. And these signs will accompany those who believe. In my name, they will drive out demons. You are, and I've said it many different ways, you have the authority over the power of the enemy. Our power cannot match his power. But I've got the ring. In Jesus' name, I command you. Do you know we do not tell Jesus any longer to cast out the devil? If we see a spirit of bondage or whatever, Jesus didn't say, we don't pray, and a lot of people do. Jesus, would you cast that demon out? There's many people that pray that way. Would you deal with this spirit of depression? Jesus, would you deal with it? The Lord says, no, 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 no. You're the one that's supposed to set the captive free. And there's somehow, but in that I found when people pray that way, after I've told them, is somehow they don't feel adequate to be able to deal with that. And that's exactly what the enemy wants. For us to come to that place and saying, I have authority over this. In the name of Jesus, I command that spirit of depression or that spirit of alcoholism or that spirit of whatever it might, the spirit of disunity and rebellion, the spirit of whatever that might be, pornography, however, we have the authority to take what we see when God reveals hell for us to do something about it and to walk away. Two things. It's a lie that you are inadequate for that, and it's a terrible, terrible travesty that we would walk away from someone that needs help. Does that put a burden on us as Christians? No. Well, yeah. That's the word of the Lord. But Jesus says that my burden is easy, is light, and my yoke is easy. And when we recognize that he died in order so that we may live, and that life more abundant, that our whole perspective in life is to take these points and to live in such a way that we literally are possessing the kingdom for the Lord. And I'll tell you something. It gets easier, folks, not harder. It gets easier, not harder. It becomes second nature to us that we don't allow ourselves to get off on tangents and the how about and the what ifs and the whole oh my's, because we've trained ourselves. I don't know how to type, and I wish I did. I've tried it. But they made, because I didn't buy it, they made some kind of statement like, your fingers remember the keys. And I said, I don't remember the keys. How can my fingers remember the keys? But for a couple times, this Mavis Beacon or whatever her name is, I went through it. And after a while, not fast. I just knew where the keys were. And, you know, well, I'm just looking at the screen like that. I got busy. I needed to type faster, so I went back to my hunt and peck thing. And I lost. My fingers lost their memory. So I had to go back to my mind again and find out where the keys are and stuff like that. But listen, it becomes second nature. Your spirit knows where the keys are. And all of a sudden, it's just natural to be supernaturally natural. And it becomes the first course of action, not the third or the fourth, not even the second. We are more than conquerors through Christ who strengthens us. And the Lord says, I've gone before you to prepare a way. Fear not, little sheep, little flock, for I am with you. And if we can allow the Holy Spirit to spark within us that sense of expectancy, then life takes on a whole different perspective. And everybody said, amen. Bow with me as we close. Thank you, Father. Take a moment and say something to the Lord. Thank you, Lord. Lord, I just release that spirit of understanding upon your people, those online. I release the quickening of the Holy Spirit that stirs within us the truth. And the word says, you shall know the truth. The truth will make us free and set us free. And we claim that in Jesus' name. Everybody said amen. Amen. How many people received something today? I'll follow you home. The Lord is good, isn't he? Stand, let's give the Lord a praise offering as we close this morning. Hallelujah. Come on, let's give amen, Lord.
Every season, in every moment, before I bring my knees.
I want to seek you. Let's give, I love that song. Alan, thank you for sharing that. Awesome. Let's give him a hand. I want to seek you. Awesome understanding. And we know that the Lord wants to be sought. And he says, when you seek me, you'll do what? You'll find me when you search with me for all of your, with all your heart. And that's what we're going to do. Take your neighbor's hand. Father, I pray blessings on my brother and on my sister. I pray for all the truth that's been taught this day. Lord, that it becomes, they become doers of the word. And that they walk in that conquering spiritual mentality that enables them to confess at the outset, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. We agree together, Father. Let your neighbor's hand go. Lift your hands before the Lord. Father, I just release that blessing and your anointing for protection, for health, for provision, for wisdom, for power, and for victory. We claim that, Father, and that everyone you bring across our path, Father, let there be that sound that we hear. Son, daughter, I've called you to the kingdom for such a time as this. And we claim that together. Now receive the benediction. May the favor of the Lord, our God, rest upon you. Establish the work of your hands. Yes, establish the work of your hands. And we claim that together in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen, amen. Let's give the Lord a praise offering. Turn around and give somebody a hug. God bless you in Jesus' name.
Thank you for listening to our Sunday sermon message. Pastor Babish is available for personal and family counseling. Please click the counseling tab for more information. Again, we would like to invite you to attend our Sunday service or call our office if you have any questions. May the Lord richly bless you.